Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of No Planet B on 102.3 Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I am your host, DJ Green, and this is where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making because we have nowhere else to go. On today's episode, I'm going to be talking about animals that are endangered, why animals get classified as endangered, what kind of threat it puts on our environment and our ecosystems, and what we can do to help solve this issue of animals that are nearing extinction every single day, because the numbers have not been going down. They have actually been going up over the last decade, and it's a really concerning issue that's very sad to see happening throughout our world. So when we say an animal is endangered, it can mean a multitude of things. Animals can be classified as of least concern for endangerment, which means that they are doing a lot better than other species of animals. They're not really much to worry about right now, and they still have a lot of population and reproduction going on within their species. And we can also classify animals as near threatened, which is the next level of concern. It basically means that they're not critically endangered yet, but they're getting to the point where we have to put a serious watch on the animals in that category. So next we have critically endangered species, which those are the animals that we put the most concern on, the most amount of stress on, that their population is rapidly decreasing and they are at serious threat for going extinct. And that would lead to the last category of animals or species that are considered extinct in the wild. And what that basically boils down to is, although there may still be habitats that are protecting these animals or zoos that may still have that species, it's very clear and obvious to scientists that they're no longer found in the wild naturally, and we pretty much have no way of reproducing their population to a point where it once was. So today the rate of extinction is occurring much faster than previous because of human activity. The main modern causes of extinction are the loss and degradation of habitat, mostly from deforestation. Also overexploitation, which is basically hunting or lack of hunting laws, overfishing, and as well as invasive species, climate change, and pollution. So most of that really comes down to human activity across the globe. We are a direct threat to wildlife and biodiversity within our planet. And the actions that we take every day, the actions that large corporations do, the amount of deforestation happening, those directly impact all the wildlife in nature. And we have become a serious problem in when it comes to keeping these species safe. We are actually doing quite the opposite. Although there are a lot of organizations working towards decreasing the amount of harmful resources that they use, we still have a long way to go before we're able to say that we don't do harm as a species to these other species that we coexist with, because that's really what the world should be about. We should be working as almost a partnership with these species and with these natural animals, instead of seeing humans ourselves as basically the better of the two, just because we can think differently, just because we can speak, we have our own dialect. It doesn't mean that animals in nature are below us in any type of way, and I think that is a severe problem within the human population, is that a lot of people don't see animals as our equals and instead see us as above them. And that seriously leads to a lot of harm. Quoted from the World Economic Forum, land degradation continues to increase and 5 biodiversity targets maturing in 2020 are unlikely to be met by the deadline. And that was after discussing the fact that land animals are being less protected than marine life. Therefore, a lot of the good things we should be doing for biodiversity are not being met because we're not taking serious precautions to save any of these animals. Like I said before, there are a good amount of organizations doing enough things, but they can't save these animals by themselves, and that's what it comes down to. We really have to open our eyes and work every day to better the environment for these creatures. And of course, along with all of that, there's actually a major disconnect where certain land animals are getting more protection and attention for the concerns of their lives and reproduction than other land animals. It's almost as if you were to think about it, reptiles are not considered to be the most appealing of land animals, and maybe someone would prefer to save elephants or rhinos instead. But the reality is that all of these animals have a purpose, and without them, our whole world is at a serious threat for loss of biodiversity and many other serious issues that can quickly escalate. A lot of extinction of animals can have a domino effect on other animals because of the natural life cycle. And us as humans are putting a very threatening impact on the natural life cycle, whereas it's not so natural anymore, but more man-made, of a loss of these wild animals in nature. So for the next segment, I'm going to be talking more about the International Union for Conservation of Nature and basically what they do to protect these animals, how they can't count every single year the species that are at risk for extinction or just coming near threatened or critically endangered, which again means that they are very close to being extinct in the wild. So this is the one union that really does the most global impact when it comes to bringing awareness to these animals that are at harm in the environment. And I will be talking about the most common animals that are nearing extinction very soon and are most likely to go extinct in our lifetime. So stick around for that. And once again, you are listening to No Planet B. I am your host, DJ Green, and you can listen on radio.dominican.edu or 102.3 FM, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. Once again, this is where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making in order to make a better future, because we have nowhere else to go. Hi everyone, welcome back to No Planet B. on 102.3 FM Penguin Radio, the only radio station of Dominican University of California. I am your host, DJ Green, and this is where we talk about environmentally conscious decision-making because we have nowhere else to go. In the last segment, I ended with talking a little bit about the International Union for Conservation of Nature. So that union has a very big global impact on studying the amount of endangered species, and they do it several times a year and then release their findings. So it is ever-changing. The numbers constantly shift in the amount of species that they study and also the number of endangered species or endangered animals per species. So they record a list of threatened and endangered species multiple times a year, like I said, and quoted from their website, the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species is the world's most comprehensive inventory of the global conservation status of plant and animal species. It uses a set of quantitative criteria to evaluate the extinction risk of thousands of species. These criteria are relevant to most species in all regions of the world. With its strong scientific base, the IUCN Red List is recognized as the most authoritative guide to the status of biological diversity. So, what that really is saying is that their list of threatened species, which they call the Red List, is the only list in the world that has the kind of inventory that really takes into account all species, the threat to them, and the reasons why they are being threatened. That doesn't mean that other organizations don't have a very solid and regulated list of endangered species. It just means that this list is one to be credited the most because of the research that they do, how many times they do it per year, and how often they publish their findings. They are the most reliable source when it comes to talking about endangered species globally and how it can be helped. So the IUCN has currently assessed 134,425 species, and of those species, they found to be more than 35,000 of them to be threatened species. So this can mean that they can either be close to being classified as endangered, or they're already endangered, or lastly, they are very close to extinction or already extinct in the wild. A very surprising fact that I found on their website is from the year of 2007 to 2020, from the years of 2007 to 2021, the number of animals on the IUCN's Red List has more than doubled. In 2007, the list was 7,851 animal species that were endangered, and in 2019, that number was already 16,306. So that is a very big increase of endangered species just for a little over 10 years. It brings a lot of truth to the statement that humans have had a very drastic impact on wildlife and the status of nature in our environment. We are very detrimental to these species, and the only thing that can really help them is us. So it's very important for us as humans to recognize the impact that we do have on these animals and that we are not above them. They are simply living on the same planet as us, and they deserve the same amount of recognition and importance that we look at humans as or with. So the list of threatened species on the IUCN Red List currently ranges from birds, mammals, amphibians, to corals and cycads. And of that, amphibians are on average the most threatened group. So they have the most amount of species that are being threatened in the wild. That doesn't necessarily mean that amphibians are majority of the number that of animals that are being threatened. It just means that their species has the most range for threat in the environment. So critically endangered species are the category made by the IUCN that are determined to be the closest to extinction, which that basically means since they are critically endangered, there is a pretty low chance that they're going to be able to bring back their population numbers in a way that we saw prior to human existence, and even just in the last decade. Specifically, some of the most threatened animals are the Saharan bovid species, and they are at the highest risk of extinction in the near future, which means that they will probably go extinct pretty soon, probably within the next decade or so, definitely in our lifetime, is what the IUCN predicts. Another species are a variety of different antelopes that reside in Africa and Asia. They are technically different categories of antelopes, but they are both at high risk of extinction in the near future, which means they will no longer be seen in the wild and instead only in captive areas that are somewhat protecting these animals from going extinct, although they probably will go extinct within the wild. And lastly, there are the Dalma gazelles, and they're located multiple places around the globe, but they are also at threat. It didn't necessarily say on the website, but I do believe a lot of these animals are at threat because of hunting, and possibly the communities around these animals use their meat for purposes and just sometimes overdo it, which leads to a lot less of these animals in the wild. Of course, a huge thing we have to consider that I've already mentioned is that humans, at the rate that we hunt, at the rate that we kill a lot of these animals, it's very, very damaging to their potential for survival in the future. And organizations such as the IUCN that I've been discussing, as well as other organizations, they do the best that they can to bring awareness, but it really comes down to the individual impact and the things that the everyday person really supports in order to make a difference in these animals' lives. So in the next section, I'm going to be discussing the details of the harm on the environment, not just to the animals, of course, but to the reality that is the loss of biodiversity, destruction of certain livelihoods, and there's even a possibility of an extinction domino effect, which I will be discussing more in the next segment. So you are listening to No Planet B on 102.3 FM Penguin Radio. You can listen at radio.dominican.edu as well. And I am your host, DJ Green. This is where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making in order to make a better future, because we have nowhere else to go. Hello once again to everyone listening. This is No Planet B. I am your host, DJ Green, and you are listening on 102.3 FM Penguin Radio, or at radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California, This is a show where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making in order to make a better future because we have nowhere else to go. In this segment, I'm going to be speaking on the details of the harm to the environment that when animals go extinct, what that brings to the environment and what the reality is of endangered species. And let's get right into it. So the first point that I want to make is a very obvious one, I want to say, because I think that with the loss of creatures, it's very, very obvious that there is a loss of biodiversity along with that. So that is the first point. The loss of biodiversity is a huge harm to our environment. Because if there's a species that has a unique function in its ecosystem, its loss can have cascading effects through the food chain, impacting other species and just the whole ecosystem in itself, in its entirety. And an example of a species that could have a really unique function in its ecosystem is a species that pollinates a lot. So that would be really the second point to it, is that with a loss of species, that really jeopardizes pollination across the whole ecosystem if one of those species is a big pollinator. So, stated by the Earth Institute at Columbia University, 75% of the world's food crops are partially or completely pollinated by insects and other animals. And practically all flowering plants in the tropical rainforest are pollinated by animals. The loss of pollinators could result in a decrease in seed and fruit production, leading ultimately to the extinction of many important plants. So not only does it affect the direct ecosystem in terms of species and animals and food supply and the whole chain of events, it can affect many other things beyond that, like the plants and just the general biodiversity of that ecosystem. And of course, we all know, most of our population is aware that bees are huge pollinators of the insect community, probably one of the most, along with butterflies. We also know that bees have been majorly jeopardized by pesticides, human interaction, and a multitude of other reasons, mostly from humans. We take their honey, we jeopardize their hives, and we've seen mass extinction of like separate bee colonies, which can ultimately lead to the extinction of bees in general. And that is a very, very harmful subject to get into, because bees are super critical for our environment. And I just never want to see that happen personally. So a third point is the destruction of certain livelihoods in our economy. There are many societies and cultures throughout the world that still depend on very natural resources for their survival. This includes animals or species that are on the threatened list. So they still rely on natural hunting, and they do it at a rate that's not detrimental, but considering the state of the environment right now, they are losing those natural resources that they depend on. So if these societies completely lose their source of food from the destruction of their ecosystem and natural animals in their environment, they are at a huge risk themselves for loss of food in their daily lives, and they have to find alternate solutions. And if they lose the insects that pollinate for their production of fruits and vegetables, it will be really hard for them to find those alternative food sources in their environments, because their ecosystems are no longer sustainable for growing food, and therefore they wouldn't even be sustainable for having those natural animals in their wildlife. So it really is the small things that add up to be very big things and very much a threat to our environment and different cultures' environments as well. And lastly, there is a possibility of an extinction domino effect if things don't begin to change within our environment. Many of these animals are beginning to head towards endangerment or extinction because of the harmful impact of toxins in the environment. So directly due to global warming and human involvement in throughout the globe, just what humans have done, our greenhouse gas levels, the amount of pollution we use, the pesticides we use in growing our food that isn't organic, we create basically a very harmful, toxic environment that it's very hard for animals to thrive in or even live in at all. So if one species goes extinct, that can lead to another species going extinct because that was their food source, and it can just have a damaging impact where the list just continues to spiral and there's almost no coming back from that to a certain degree. Because yes, humans can do a lot of things, but we cannot recreate all these animals at the rate that we really need to at this point. We have to cut back on the harmful and damaging things that we're doing to our environment in order for things to change. We have to really recognize that as individuals, we directly support the companies that are bringing harm to our forest, are bringing harm to our animals, and our farming life as well. Because a main reason why these animals are being threatened and endangered is due to deforestation and the burning of areas to make more room for either factory farming or for growing soy. It's just little issues that we think will help us that turn out to be really, really big issues that do help us temporarily, but have a long-term life-threatening effect on many other species. I know it's a lot to take in. Trust me, when I was researching for this episode, I was hit very deeply because it's a really sad truth to come to and just to realize that there's not much we can do unless larger corporations do take responsibility and recognize that we cannot survive on this planet by ourselves. Humans just do not have the resources for that. We need other animals to exist. It's a ecosystem, and we're not the only ones who do good. We actually sometimes do a lot of bad. But I don't want to be all negative because there are a lot of great things going on in terms of saving animals, and there are a lot of protection laws being put into place, and there are things such as the Paris Agreement that globally we are working on to reduce our carbon emissions, our greenhouse gases, and everything negative that is pollution, toxins in our environment, which can be a range of things. And just there are a lot of good things that humans are doing to better ourselves every single day. So I don't want to make it seem like we are completely evil. It's just that we do have to really take responsibility for the things that we have done as a society. It's not necessarily something to beat ourselves up over. It's just that we can do better, and we are hopefully going to do better. And there are a lot of things that are beginning to change. And yeah, so in the next section, I'm going to be talking more about how exactly we can help as individuals, what we can do to support the biodiversity within our local communities and globally. So once again, you are listening to No Planet B on 102.3 FM Penguin Radio or at radio.dominican.edu. This is a show where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making in order to make a better future for everyone, because we have nowhere else to go. Once again, I am your host, DJ Green, and I will see you in the next segment. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the final segment of this week's episode. You are listening to No Planet B on 102.3 FM Penguin Radio. You can also tune in at radio.dominican.edu. I am your host, DJ Green, and this is where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making in order to make a better future, because we have nowhere else to go. So on today's episode, I've been talking about the extinction of animals and animals that are endangered, what that does to our environment, how it can lead to a lot of awful things like loss of biodiversity and very bad destruction of certain livelihoods. It jeopardizes pollination, and then that can just create a domino effect to make more negative impact on the state of our wildlife and nature. So for this segment, I'm going to be talking about how, as humans, we can really make a difference to better this environment, better the general ecosystems for wildlife to thrive instead of the opposite. A fact I mentioned earlier was that since 2007 to 2019, in between those years, there was a rapid growth, a more than doubling effect of the amount of endangered species that were recorded by the IUCN, which is the International Union for Conservation of Nature. So just by that number, it shows there was a huge growth in the list of endangered species, in the amount of species that are very near extinction, in the amount of critically endangered species, and just the ones that have to have more of a watch on them now. Unfortunately, a lot of the endangerment comes from the direct result of human interaction on this planet Earth. A lot of the time, animals become endangered because their habitat is at risk for destruction. And that can come from deforestation, the burning of these forests to make more room for factory farming or growth of soybean to provide to the factory farms. It can also come from the destruction of natural environments in order to create man-made populations and things such as buildings, cities, roadways, anything that doesn't naturally appear in the wild and is done by humans. That has a direct impact on the state of wildlife. So, to really get down to it, humans are a huge reason why these animals are at risk and a huge reason why we are losing biodiversity throughout our planet. Of course, we are at cause for the rise in greenhouse gases, the rise in just overall pollution in our environment, and that means that we're the only species left that can solve that, because we are the creators of our own destruction and we have to be the solvers of it too. So this does come down to making individual choices and everyday actions to not only help our environment, but then that will have a very good long-lasting effect on our wildlife as well, because the better the environment, the better they can thrive and actually survive for decades instead of the opposite. And as individuals, there's a lot that we can do. One of the most important things would to be doing our research on what kind of companies we want to support, the ones that actually recognize that there's a lot going on with our planet, a lot of climate change is happening, and if we don't support those companies and end up supporting companies that support fossil fuels and other destructive elements, we are not going to see any change. Well, I'll correct myself. We will see change, but it won't be the positive change. It won't be the kind of growth that we want to see. It'll be quite the opposite. So at this point, it's not really a valid argument to use the circle of life anymore as, hey, we eat animals, we need these animals, we have to hunt, kill, and eat them for our own survival. Like, yes, that is true, but to an extent, as humans, we are harming this planet at an alarming rate because of the amount of hunting, the amount of deforestation that we do. There is a certain point that the planet can handle, and we are far beyond that. The good news is that there is time to make a comeback. A lot of these animals are still being protected, and that's another thing as individuals that we can do is support any kind of organization that are aware of endangered species and do support the protection of these animals. Another thing that you can do is buy local and more organic foods if you are in an area to do so. Because the reality is that organic farmers do not use certain harmful chemicals, and instead they use pesticides that are more natural and occurring in our environment, so that they don't necessarily put those ecosystems at risk the same way that pesticides would or other toxins would when it comes to farming. Also, organic produce is going to be a lot better on your body. Either way, we should always wash our fruits and vegetables, but it'll have a better impact on you as well, not only the environment. And on top of that, bringing a variety of fruits and vegetables into your diet really just overall supports the production of biodiversity, and it shows the farmers that we want these vegetables, we want these fruits, and they're going to keep creating them, which just adds to the variety in our ecosystems, which is a really good thing. With incorporating more fruits and vegetables, more variety of fruits and vegetables into our diets, we can also try, I know it may be hard for some people, to reduce the amount of meat that you eat, only because the production of soybean is a huge cause of deforestation, because they have to make room to grow the soybeans. And the majority of soybean production is literally used for animal feed and factory farming. That's where I did an episode previously on this before, but around 70% of soybean production is directly used for cattle, which to me was a very surprising number. And although a lot of meat alternatives have soy, they do not take the amount of soy that animals need to fill themselves up and to be fed. So that's just a little fun fact you can think about. Even just reducing your daily meat intake to maybe not having it with dinner or something very simple, that actually does a bigger impact than we're really aware of as individuals. Sometimes we think we can't really make a difference by ourselves, but I promise you the little things do add up. And it does show these corporations that as individuals, we are working toward bettering our environment, and that they should too. We are the consumers, and we directly talk to the producers and suppliers. So by just in the foods we buy, it's very obvious. Of course, they do their own statistics, they see their numbers, and it can have a very, very, very good effect. And A couple of last points are, if you do a lot of housework, if you buy wood from places, just make sure you're buying wood from sustainable resources, places that don't harm the environment or do their best to have wood that is naturally used instead of wood that is being taken from places who could use it as well. And my last point I want to make is that if you have a garden of any type, it's always a really good and beautiful idea to plant certain flowers that attract natural pollinators in your local environment. And again, that can have a lot more of an effect, a positive effect, than many even realize, because you can literally be pollinating your own local community just from your garden. It's a pretty beautiful idea, and I hope that this episode brought some truth to the manner of how we can really make a difference and save a lot of these animals if we just do small everyday things with the animals in mind. So thank you for listening to today's episode. Once again, this is No Planet B. I am your host, DJ Green, and you can tune in weekly at radio.dominican.edu or on 102.3 FM. Thanks again for listening to a show where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making, because we have nowhere else to go.